in the same verse says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. God has a vision. We're in our life groups on Sunday afternoon. One of the things that we're talking about is how to live your life on purpose. We're trying to get you to see what your purpose is for your life. What it is that you're supposed to do for the Lord. And let me say that our life groups are still open. If you need to get into a life group, you still can. Just show up about 5 to 5 tonight. We'll assign you to one. But this fits right in and flows right into to what we're doing, is finding our purpose. There's been a lot in the last few years about purpose. In fact, probably the greatest selling book other than the Bible has been The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. We're studying one called How to Live Your Life on Purpose. But it all flows into the vision. Now, we know that the vision that God gives us comes from the Word of God. Our vision for this church is, does anybody know? Reach up, reach in, reach out. Everything that we do in this church revolves around that vision. We believe that that vision, although it doesn't say reach up, reach in, reach out in the Bible, we believe that that says what we do as a church. We believe that that defines us. So the vision comes from the Word of God. We don't decide what we're going to do with our lives. If we're really doing it right, we find out what God wants us to do, and then we begin to build our lives around that. But now, how does the vision of reach up, reach in, and reach out affect you? We say, well, that's the vision of our church. Let me ask you a question. What is the church? It's not the 501c3 organization. It's not the building. It is the people. So if that is the vision of the church, then that has to come right down to you. Your vision for your life needs to be reach up, reach in, reach out. I believe that that is the New Testament mandate for a New Testament church, the body of Christ. Those who are part of the kingdom of God, we have a mandate to reach up, to reach in, and reach out. We believe the reach up has to do, first of all, of having a relationship with God. Having a relationship with God. This is the most important thing that we'll ever do, is to reach up. To reach up. Having a personal relationship with God. We cannot have a corporate relationship with God unless we have a personal relationship with God. Now it says in Matthew 22:37. Turn there, because this is the most important scripture that we'll use. If you do not get this one right, none of the rest of it matters. Until you get this one right, you will not be able to effectively do anything else that has to do with your purpose or fitting into the vision of what God has for the church. Jesus said unto him, they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. It says three things. Love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Your heart, your soul, and your mind. And what are we talking about? We're talking about a personal relationship with God. Not a casual relationship. There's a lot of people who go to church who have a casual relationship with God. Or they call it something casual. How many of you know that God is not a dater? God does not want to date you. God is not a dater. God wants to be married to you. And I know that sounds strange to a guy, but he wants to be, that's the kind of relationship that he wants to have. Is there a difference in dating and being married? Is there? It's a big one, isn't it? There's a lot of people who say, I'm a Christ follower, but they're really only dating the Lord. Because they're involved in other things in their life that God doesn't approve of. Are you out there? You know what? When I got married, now this is going to sound funny, and it may be true both ways. I quit dating. I quit dating other women, okay? Let me say it that way. I have a date with my wife every now and then. But I don't date anymore. Kathy is very narrow-minded about dating. She will not let me date. So none of you girls ask me out on a date. She will not let me go. Why? Because the relationship is different. It's not a dating relationship. It is a married relationship. Okay? This is what the Lord is looking for. He is not looking for something casual. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not your homeboy. He wants to be married to you in a personal relationship. He wants it to be intimate. Until you get that, until you come into that relationship with Him, you cannot do what you were designed to do and to be. Well, I love God. Well, you say you love God based on what you believe love is. What we need to find out is, what is it that God says that love is? And we need to love God the way that God wants us to love. In fact, the word there in the Greek is agape. There are several Greek words for the word love in Scripture. Are in the Greek language. One of them is eros, which is sexual, erotic love. Another one is a phileo, which is brotherly love or fondness. God don't want you to be fond of Him. He wants you to be in love with Him. You know why? Because He is head over heels in love with you. I mean, how would you like to be head over heels in love with someone else and they were just fond of you? Would a marriage work that way? Huh? It will not work that way, will it? Therefore, our relationship with God will not work that way because He wants us. He's more interested in you than he is your stuff. Now, when He gets you, He gets your stuff. You know, what little stuff I had when Kathy got me, she got my stuff too. I had a car. She didn't have a car. I had a car. Guess what? We got married, that was her car. I had stuff. Well, she got the stuff. But God wants you more than He wants your stuff. But when He gets you, He gets your stuff. But look at this. When you get Him, you get His stuff. Ooh, how many of you know He's got more stuff than you got? He's got better stuff than what you got. I don't want Him just to be the big man upstairs. I don't want Him just to be my homeboy. I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to be my God. I want to be in a relationship with Him where He begins to change my life, where He begins to mold me and make me into what He wants me to be so that He can use me and I can find fulfillment in finding my purpose. You say, well, what does that have to do with the church? It has everything to do with the church. Because if you have a building full of people who are God admirers and God likers, but they're not God agapeers, that church will never fulfill its function. It will never reach up, reach in, reach out. It can try, but you can't do it. You can't have a fulfilling relationship outside of a marriage. It's that way by design. It cannot be fulfilling in any way. The second part of reaching up is to be a worshiper. John 4:23, Jesus said, He said, the hour's coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for God is seeking such to worship Him. God is looking for a people to worship Him. Now let me ask you, does God have a big ego? No, you're the one with the big ego. God does not have a big ego. But God can do something through worship. God can do something when we gather together and you worship and you connect with God. God can do great things in our midst. When we become worshipers of God, let me ask you a question. Do you just praise and worship when you're here? Or do you have a lifestyle of worship? Do you worship God in the shower? Singing in the shower. Praising God in the shower. Do you praise God when you drive down the street? When you see the beauty of nature, do you pause sometimes and say, thank you, Lord, for that? When you see a sunset, a beautiful sunset, or something neat happens in your life, do you just take it for granted? Or do you say, thank you, Lord, for what you've revealed to me today? Thank you, Lord, for blessing my life. Do you ever just sit down and turn the TV off and sit there and count your blessings and thank God for your blessings? See, this is what we're talking about, a personal relationship with God. This is reaching up. Now, Jesus dealt with some scribes and some Pharisees. They were legalists when it came to the law, but they didn't know squat about God. You can be full of head knowledge about God and not know squat about God. You know what squat means? Nothing. Nada. Know nothing about God. He told them one time, says, you know what? On the outside, you're a painted tomb. But on the inside, you're just full of dead men's bones. And that's what religion does. A religion that's devoid of God. It, on the outside, it looks right. It's white. It's all of the things that it needs to be. It looks pure. But on the inside, there's death. If we are going to be a life-giving church, it has to start with a people that has the life of God in their lives. A relationship with God where we have eternal life. Where we have that individually. And when we come together corporately and God says, I want you to reach up. And we begin to reach up out of a pure relationship with God, a real relationship with God. God says, I'm going to rain my glory down on these people. And I'm going to be glorified in them and through them. And He can really do so. He can take us and do something. He can take our united effort. And He can do so much more than we could ever do. And it can be miraculous. It can be miraculous. You know, there are times in the early church where they came together in one mind, in one accord. They had just had a brand new relationship with God. They've been saved. They're full of the Holy Spirit now. And they come together and they forgive each other. They release each other. They not only love God, they start loving each other. There's a good sign that you have a relationship with God. When you're quick to forgive other people. It's just kind of a reflection. This relationship is reflected in this relationship. When you say, I hate man, you don't love God. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. I don't care. When you hate man, you don't love God. Because God loves people. That means I need to go back and I need to get something right between me and God so that I can release these people out here whom I hate. But when we begin to do that, and they did that in the early church, they began to worship God. And God began to move in their midst. And there were times that on one day, several thousand people came to know Jesus Christ and were baptized. Woo, wouldn't that be a good Sunday morning? I mean, all of a sudden we're in here and we're praising God and people started marching in and the glory of God was here and they just run forward and they're getting saved and they say, what do I need to do next? What do I need to do next? Could that happen? I believe it could. I believe it should and I believe it will. I don't know what grand scale it could happen on. That just kind of depends on us. That just depends on us. And first of all, it has to do with our relationship with God. See, the vision of the church comes out of several verses of Scripture. Mark the 16th chapter. Let's look at this real quick. Verse 15 through 18. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's the reach out. He says, you know, I've done a work in you, now you go. This is what this is going to be all about. He didn't save you so that you could just be blessed. He saved you so you could be blessed and you could share that blessing with other people. And you could make a difference in the world. The second scripture is in Matthew, the 28th chapter in the 19th verse. Now this is not new stuff, but this is stuff that we need to be reminded of sometimes because it's so easy for us to get caught up in our day-by-day routine that we forget why we're really here. I am not here to make a living. I'm not here to support my family. Although I have a responsibility to do those things. But I'm here to bring glory to God. I can use everything in my life to do that. My job should be something to bring glory to God. Your job. See, you look at me and say, well, yeah, you're the pastor. I mean, you're in religious work. You do church stuff all the time, but I work in the secular world. Greater opportunity than I have. Until I get out there among the secular people, and I do, but you have a greater opportunity than I do. Especially if you travel around and meet different people. You have a greater opportunity to do what this is talking about. You know, you're not limited by your vocation. You're only limited by the way you think. The way that you view life. The values that drive your life. And when you have a proper vision that you're to reach up, reach in, reach out, and then it can begin to happen in your life. So, Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. This is something different. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is the reach in. This is where we move beyond just being in a married relationship with the Lord, having a personal relationship with Him, to becoming a committed follower. You do not follow on your terms. How would you like to be in a marriage relationship where your spouse-to-be comes up and says, you know what, I love you more than anything else. And I'm going to commit myself to you, but this one thing that I'm going to do, once a year, on my birthday, I'm going to have a date with somebody else. Whoever I pick out, I'm going to be unfaithful on that day. How many of you going for that? Some of you might like that. You need to get right with God. No. I know a redhead, and that might be a good deal. No, that wouldn't be a good deal. That ain't happening in my house, okay? Either way. No, that's not a proper relationship. The relationship has to be based on a solid foundation. We do not get to pick the conditions of our relationship with God. He doesn't follow us. We have to follow Him. Okay? We don't get to make up who God is. The Bible reveals who He is. And then we have to conform ourselves to what He says, what His teachings are. This is called discipleship, where we become committed followers of Him. You know what? You're not capable of the reach out till you reach in. You're not capable of it. You're not capable of the reach out until you're able to reach up and then reach in. You're not capable of it. All of these are interdependent on each other. But it starts with the reach up. Then it goes to the reach in. Somebody gets saved and they want to run out and they're going to win the world. They're going to be the next Billy Graham. I doubt it. Now, you can always share what the Lord has done for you. And if you've got a relationship with God, you can share what you know. But your greatest impact as a believer is not going to come until you become a committed follower of Him. And let me say this. This is a lifetime commitment. It's not a 9-month Bible school. It's not a 4-year degree. This is a lifetime commitment where you're continually learning about Him, causing your relationship with Him to grow through the knowledge of His Word. Then the next aspect of the vision of reaching in is found in Acts 2:44. It says, "Now all who believed were together." Say it together. You know God likes for us to come together. You know why we have what we call church? This is not, we're not really having church. We are the church. You know why we're assembling today? Because the Bible tells us to. There's something good when we come together. "And had all things in common." Ooh. You know, that should happen when we're in relationship. That we have things in common. That we share things in common. Okay? "And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." This is called alms. This is called giving. This is not tithing. This is giving. Okay? "So they continued..." What's that next word? "So they continued daily with one accord." How? "With one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house." How many know it's scriptural to eat? Glory to God! It's scriptural to eat. But not eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Okay, just eat. "They're breaking bread together from house to house and ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." You know, they were doing what it says. They were reaching up, they were reaching in, they were reaching out. And it says, "And God added to the church daily those who were being saved." The natural outflow of us being what we're supposed to be should be people coming to Christ all around us. We ought to be a Jesus magnet in our lives. I said we ought to be a Jesus magnet in our lives. Whatever it is that you do, not just around church activity, on your job, you ought to be a Jesus magnet. People ought to look up and they ought to think, "Here she comes. Woo, I'm glad to see her. She's always so pleasant." Or they look up and say, "Oh no, here comes Pickle Puss. Oh no, not again." That's up to you. You choose it. See, but our relationship with God and one another ought to be so wonderful that the thing is that people say, "You know what? I've heard about that congregation out there and I want to go be a part of it." That's happening. That's happening in our town right now. It really is. All around. So our vision is reach up, reach in, reach out. That's the vision of the church. That is our vision together. It comes out of the Word of God. It's not something that we just made up and say, "This is our vision." This is what the New Testament tells us that we're supposed to do. So we know that it has a corporate application, but we also know that it has a personal application. You know, let me say this to you today. Don't compartmentalize your life. Don't say, "This is my spiritual life over here. This is my private life. This is my work life. This is my play life." What part of your life does Jesus want to be Lord of? He wants to be Lord of every compartment. Your principles for living need to spill over into every area of your life. Everywhere I go, I don't want people to look at me and say, "Boy, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of that. That may have been said, but that's not what I want to happen. So therefore, I need to be a little bit careful about speaking my mind. I do have a mind, don't you? I have lots of opinions, but I'm learning to not always speak my opinion. It's good to have opinions, but people do get tired of hearing them. We got one fella that comes and drinks coffee with us sometimes, and he gets mad. Somebody brings politics up, and he's mad. And you know what? I agree with him on most things, but he's so mad, I dread anybody bringing politics up. Because he's such a turnoff to everybody at that table, because he's just mad. He's a good guy. He's a Christian. He loves God. He loves his country. He and I agree politically on things, but I don't want to hear it because he's so mad. That doesn't draw people to God. That pushes people away. You see, you can have the right opinions about things, and you can have the wrong spirit about you, and you can push people away. We need to become like Jesus. That's why, first of all, we have to have a relationship with Him. We have to be born of His Spirit, but then we have to learn of Him. You know what? He says, I'm meek and lowly, not proud and haughty. I know Christians who are proud and haughty. That does not make Jesus attractive to the lost. They want somebody that's real. They don't want somebody that's religious. They want somebody that's transparent and real, and they can see that they have a real relationship with God. So don't compartmentalize your life. How do you act when you go on vacation? When nobody's watching. Do you do things different than you do everywhere else? Like the video said a while ago, I mean, how would you act if your mom and daddy were sitting there? Well, God sees every part of your life. Who are you living your life for? Are you living your life for people, or are you living your life for God? Now, I know all of us have areas that we have to work on, but we need to be working on them. Do you turn people off with your language? If you got potty mouth, you need to quit it. I don't believe Jesus had potty mouth. I don't believe Jesus used the F word. Say, you're not supposed to say that in church. I just did. I didn't say it. I just insinuated it. I don't believe Jesus used crude language. I don't believe Jesus was unkind and cruel. I don't believe Jesus was condescending. I don't believe that Jesus talked about Himself all the time. That's who we need to become like. You need to become less like you and more like Him. Because the more you know what Christian means? Christ-like. You know what a nominal Christian is? Nominal means name. That means a Christian in name only. You can go through the motions. You can say the right things. You can pray the right prayers. But are you really a Christ follower? Okay, move off of that. So don't compartmentalize your life. Let your spiritual values drive your whole life. The way that you do business. The way that you treat people. The way that you treat your friends. It just needs to be something. It needs to be consistent. Oh, man. I got ahead of myself. It tells us in... listen to this quote. I'm fixing to close. There are two ways of spreading light. Number one, to be the candle. Or number two, the mirror that reflects it. Let me tell you something. You're not the candle. You're not the candle. When you try to be the candle, you're going to be in trouble. You're the mirror that reflects the light. You're the mirror that reflects the light. Let's reflect the light. Let's do that. Okay, let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come at this time. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, help us to really be the church. Not just in name only, not just a nominal Christian, a nominal church, but a Christ-serving church. One that has a real relationship with You. Thank You for it, Father God, today in Jesus' name. May we just be caught up with the vision that You have of reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. May that become our lives in Jesus' name. If you're here for any reason today and you have a need of any kind, maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. Maybe you need to get some things right with God. Maybe you need to repent of some things. We want to ask you to come at this time. Whatever it is that you have need of today, I don't care if it's not even related to this message today, but you have need of prayer, would you come now? We've got those ready to pray with you. Let's be in a prayerful atmosphere, folks.
Take my life, lay it down at the feet of You whose crown. Take my heart, let it go, lift it up to You whose throne. You, Lord, only You, Lord. And I will bow down before You, only You, Lord. Take my breath, take my fear, all I have, I'm leaving here. Be all my hopes, be all my dreams, be all my delights, be my everything. And I will worship You, Lord. You, Lord, only You, Lord. thou will bow down for you, only you, Lord. Only you, oh, Jesus, oh, only you, Lord, and I will worship.
Stand and lift our hands to the Lord today. Just give Him thanks. Father, bless you. Bless you in this place today for all you've done. Lord God, for blessing us, for being here. Oh, just your presence has been awesome here today. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Don't forget about our cards we have up here if you would like some random access of kindness cards.